Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
That voice sounded familiar to you. It harkens back to the middays here on Boston Sports Original, 93.7 FM, WEEI. Because that's our guy Rich Keefe, who was on NBC Sports Boston last night with a cast of familiar football and sports talking faces addressing the notion that Josh McDaniels' offense is going to look very much like, well, Josh McDaniels' offense this year with the New England Patriots. After we had been sold a bill of goods and told the tale of a spiritual football journey that Josh McDaniels had gone on since his unemployment from the Los Angeles Raiders before being the Las Vegas Raiders, before being rehired here in New England, his third stint as the OC of the NEP. There are those who immediately see hallmarks of the Josh McDaniels offense, hear things from people like Hunter Henry who say, oh yeah, it's the Josh McDaniels offense. It reminds me of 2021. And there are those of us like myself who believe we haven't seen everything yet because, again, I would like to remind you all, it's July 25th. My word, everybody. Everyone who wants to knee-jerk their way into just deciding that they're going to see the same old offense that they saw with Brady and Cam and with Mac, and now with Drake. I mean, people, if you don't think Josh McDaniels is smart enough to play to the strengths of his offensive talent, the players that he has, and what Drake May is good at that he can do because of his sized head, his laser rocket arm, and his feet and processing, then they shouldn't even have an offensive coordinator. They should just use ChatGPT or ChatNFL or Gemini and just let a robot pick the damn plays.
Hell, they might go down that road eventually, maybe before we're dead. But you know, you're right. If there is, I kind of understand the concern though here, because it's like, okay, you know, Josh had Tom Brady, the best pocket quarterback ever, best quarterback ever. But really, he made his money right there, 5 yards behind the center, and that was what he was best at. Now then you go, oh, did you see what he did with Cam Newton? Yeah, but Cam Newton did nothing from the pocket and everything outside the pocket. Now you got a guy that's really, unlike anything he's ever had before. He's got a true athlete that can throw from the pocket as well as outside the pocket. And you just, I think there's some concern that, you know, Josh is not going to, highlight the skills and the traits that I think make him special. I think he will. I'm assuming I'm going to see a moving pocket. We got to see bootlegs. My guess is we're going to see a ton of play action. And if we're not, then shame on Josh because he hasn't learned a damn thing. Because I think he's got a special quarterback that he can do pretty much anything he wants from an athletic standpoint at that quarterback position, Dan.
Guys, I was looking to try to quantify this a little bit to give people a little bit of hope of, all right, is he capable of changing based on the personnel he has? So the Patriots' pass rate was at 60% in 2019, near the top of the league in terms of how much they were passing. It dropped down to 51%, second least in the league in 2020 when you had all the personnel changeover. So there is a sample size to see that Josh has been able to adapt on the fly and make some of these decisions. So I'm still confident, but again, you have to put it together with a roster that's still very young, and you also have to factor in the fact that pass protection is probably not going to be that great at the beginning, and so you're going to have to be able to orchestrate an offense that works a little bit quicker than maybe you would be accustomed to with better personnel. So I still think he's capable of it and making those changes, and like you said, Fitzy, it's so early. They're never going to show their hand until you get into gameplay.
I mean, first of all, back to 2020. And I'm going to go back to 2018 because, Ted, you're familiar with the offense because you had to, that was the iron that sharpened your defensive iron for basically a decade. And now this playbook is, I like to call it the stew Patriots offense because it's the McDaniels, Perkins, Earhart, Weiss, O'Brien offense, which everyone has kind of contributed to over the years. 2018, the passing game isn't working even with the Edelmans of the world and Josh Gordon and Gronk. They pivot to the power running game, a surprise six Lombardi. 2020, you've got a receiving core that features such world beaters as Ryan Izzo and Damier Byrd, and Cam Newton can't throw it further than 30 yards tops. What do? They pivot to a running game, and somehow with one of their least talented rosters ever, they get to 7-9. It was a frustrating season for a million different reasons. Let's not re-legislate that. And now we get to 2025. There is some talent. You do have some speed and some options at running back. Who knows what to make of this wide receiver room, and we all believe likely that the tight end room should be pretty steady and dependable. And you have a quarterback that processes well, has a cannon for an arm, and most importantly, can scoot. He can scoot on his own accord, and they can also call plays for him. I highlighted the other day amongst you fellows that in the opening scene of Forged in Foxborough, Episode 2, Mike Vrabel praised Drake May in a scene from minicamp back in June because while eventually he ran 10 yards for a first down, he kept himself as a viable passer the entire time, looking downfield while also scooting, putting those two options together, which I thought was really, really telling as to how they're going to handle him this year. And to your point, Dan, who in the world would be dumb enough to be like, hey guys, all of our gadget plays and the surprise element of what we're going to do with Drake and all these different running backs and receivers, let's put them in day two of camp in front of three quarters full stands. Give me a break.
And I also think it's important to note, and this is something that Andy's brought up a couple of times, and I know it's usually said like this, but I'll say it in a bit more of a calmer tone so that people can get it. There's also a lot of cooks in the kitchen where you're trying to distill down that stew. You have former head coaches. You have guys with a lot of different backgrounds through different offenses, different upbringings within the football world that I'd imagine you're still working through with those guys. What made Thomas Brown successful? What made Doug Marrone successful? And how am I going to insert these little idiosyncrasies into a Josh McDaniels offense that has worked really well in New England? So I think that's another element to it too, that even if you were going to show the finished product on July the 25th, what it is right now certainly isn't going to match what it is come the beginning of September, Ted, because you just have a lot of pieces that are getting to know each other in the puzzle.
No question. It's an excellent point you bring up. And, you know, it's just to kind of piggyback off what you were talking about, Fitzy, about what Vrabel was saying, hey, way to kind of keep your option there to throw the ball throughout the whole play. Watch, that is one of the more things that jump out. If you watch Drake May, people, watch Drake May play to the very end of the play, okay? You saw him win on a pass to get the score tied in regulation to go to overtime where they ultimately lost to the Tennessee Titans.
Oh, the 12-second scramble toss to Ramondre in Nashville?
He never gave up on that play. And if you ever watch him when he's running to the sidelines and he's looking for a receiver to open up before he runs out, he will wait to the very last second to throw that ball for someone to open up. I love that. I love that. The play is never really over with him, and I think you're going to see him have a few plays this year. They're going to be big ones because of how he plays each play to the very bitter end.
And it's funny, Fitzy, too. That was something where Drake was asked specifically on the first day of camp, what are you working on? What's your focus on year two of camp? And he zeroed in on that exact skill, not developing it, but refining it, making sure that when you make that decision to throw the pass at the last second, I know where it's going. Because I think his undoing in those, and the reason why we're talking about a guy with double-digit interceptions, is he made the right decision and remained a passer. It was just the pass was in a double double or triple coverage, or he had crappy receivers and they couldn't get open. So it's fascinating to hear that that's a strength of his game. He seems to realize that, and now Fitzy, he's just trying to maximize that as much as possible.
Okay, now 2 points before we grab a quick call here on WEEI Afternoons with Dan Ball, Big Ted Johnson, and Nick Fitzy Stevens. One, Ted, do you this one to you, sir. Do you believe that right now, during the, they've been obviously installing for a long time. I'm sure players got the playbooks way back in the springtime, and now they're getting a chance to not just put pen to paper, but put paper to playing surface. Do you believe there's any chance that they would be given the playbook right now, not in its full complete form? I'm sure it's digital, not a physical paper playbook. And that McDaniels wants to make sure that they get the fundamentals, the hallmarks, the basics, the tenets of it correct before he starts adding to it. Because if he overwhelms them with all sorts of new wrinkles, additions, and check on me's and options with Drake, that it could confuse some of the players, or it may just be too much for them to download.
Yeah, if Josh is putting too much on it, then shame on him. He's not a very good coach. My guess is he's not. Yes, it's painstakingly probably so basic. That there's, you know, guys, we're all, we'll go out there in these practices. I'm like, really? I mean, all of yesterday's practice was check downs and flares and screens.
Yep.
But if you can't do the basics right, which this team, you know, is having a hard time just doing that, then you don't have a chance. So you got to get that basic stuff. So my guess is you're not going to see the most advanced offense to start with, is my guess, because Drake's new to the system. He's new to working with these coaches. He's new working with these receivers. So, you know, to think that, hey, this is going to be some Sean McVay or Mike McDaniels, you know, next level futuristic offense, you're not going to see that. That only happens over time, you know, after multiple years, in my opinion.
Yeah, nail the fundamentals and earn the right to have new plays, wrinkles, iterations, and advancements, which he hopefully picked up along the way while developing some wrinkles to his offensive scheme, thanks to the fact that he's got the most athletic quarterback that he'll have coached to date. And two, this also from our friend Rich Keefe from the Midday Show, who we walked in with on the audio at the top of the 4 o'clock hour. Keefe highlighted this. All the teams last year that made it to their conference championships, aside from, you know, like winning records and scoring more, a lot more touchdowns than all the other teams they played last year, what did all of those teams have? They all had quarterbacks that either ran a lot, Ted, or could run. Think, like, look at Lamar Jackson. Like,
yep.
Do any of the teams that have the leading rushing quarterbacks, do they have bad records in the current NFL?
No. It's a great point. And I am a big – look, I'm a big believer in, you know, your first and foremost, your best attributes got to be thrown from the pocket. But yep. I do like a quarterback that has mobility. And, you know, give me a quarterback. If you just look at Patrick Mahomes, I'm just looking at his stuff right now. He probably averages 1.5, you know, first downs a game by using his feet, right? And mm-hmm. so averages, you know, mm-hmm. almost 6 yards per carry. Give me a running first down one time a game. Like, just to keep the defense off balance a little bit, just, you know your tackle missed a block. You know what? You saved his bacon by being able to scramble and not taking a negative play. Give me somebody who has the ability to move around a little bit. And every now and then in these kind of clutch situations, use the quarterback design run play to kind of keep the defense honest. And that's, to me, the profile of quarterback you want ultimately if you can have that.
Dan?
Yeah, no question about that. I was curious where you were going with that, Fitzy, as well. But, I mean, that is the modern quarterback. And it was fascinating to see it
correct.
Kind of experimented with last year. It was kind of after the bye where people were clamoring for why are there no design runs for Drake May within mm-hmm. this offense. And seemingly coming out, I think it was in that game against Arizona and then on down, all of a sudden there was a pivot and you started to see more of those runs. So I'm more looking for absolutely the development of that, but just the consistency of it. Have it within the game plan where you know you can go to it, and he also is able to continue to develop that ability to recognize the play in front of him, because it's fair to expect that with the current state of the offensive line, and this is a completely healthy offensive line with all the moving parts you have, he's going to need to be able to think very quickly in order to get those kind of positive plays.
You know what helps slow those defensive edge rushers? You help your offensive line by keeping those edge rushers a little bit on their heels by every now and then tucking and running just to keep them honest, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, throw a quick a flare, a screen, a quick out, a tuck run or two, a design play like that. And also, again, You have to make sure you know how to drive before you strip the gearbox and try to take the Ferrari into fifth gear as well. Yeah. People in Pat's Nation need to have a little patience as well. 617-779-7937. JT's on the Cape. He wants to talk a little Patriots with the afternoon crew. How are you, buddy?
Doing well. Hey, Teddy, I'm not trying to pick a fight with you, and I don't carry water for Joe Milton either, but
yeah.
I think, in a way, it's a little bit unfair to criticize a guy who's got to be a little bit more vocal to advocate for himself to get some playing time in the league. If you've been a guy whose talent, natural ability, hard work, all that, has probably put you high up on the depth chart, if not number one, for every team you've ever played on. You know, Milton's in a position now where he's trying to be a number two, maybe a number one if he's really reaching for the sky somewhere for some junk team in the league. But, I mean, you got number twos that have made $100 million over their career. And I just don't blame the guy for trying to put himself in a position to set himself up financially or even be a player in the league.
I hear you, JT. And my only response to that to be is, you know what? Guys set themselves up to get opportunities pre-draft in college so that they get drafted as high as they can that puts them in a position to start quicker than guys that are drafted in the sixth round. We the most famous sixth round draft pick ever played for us, and we know what that can do. But the point is, that's your starting gate, is what round you were drafted. You're drafted in the sixth round. Okay, and you come in and you think you should be starting over the third overall pick. I'm under the assumption, JT, that it's not just that he wants an opportunity, it's that he was perhaps sabotaging or being negative or not being a good teammate to get to his opportunity. That's yep. all I'm saying.
But
does that make sense?
Isn't that if you choose to believe the unsourced reporting?
It's but I hear you, and it's totally. And so I'm telling you right now, as I'm saying it, that I don't have the answer that that's the way it is. That's my feeling is the way it was, and I'll be honest. That feeling has only been reinforced by some of the comments that Joe Milton has made recently about his time here, and he kind of showed me his true colors by the comments that we played earlier talking about his time here. It's just kind of like, okay, yeah, that reveals something to me that I was probably figuring was already the case.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by what the player's potential is. I really am. Yeah. I'm endlessly, yeah. And I think a lot of people are. He's got a bazooka for an arm. He's extremely athletic. It's clear,
bazooka,
you know, he's
Joe.
A competitor and wants to win and whatever else. But all of that is a pipe dream for what he is at the pros right now, which is a backup trying to make a spot on a roster and trying to be as good of a teammate and as good of a backup right now in order to try to work your way into a starting spot. And nothing of what he said would tell me as a general manager that he has the right mindset to try to work his way into a spot versus
he is a physical freak and he is super talented, Dan, and that's a great point.
Why was he drafted higher?
Right now
if he's so good, why wasn't he drafted higher than he was drafted, right? I mean, if he's just so can't miss, and I mean, there's a lot of teams that pass on him six times, and you're telling me that he deserves a chance to start? Says who?
Yeah, okay, you know, obviously we all believe Drake May should have started before Jacoby Brissett, and maybe, and this point has been made a couple of times as well, maybe, just maybe, when Joe Milton's talking about loving life in Dallas and feeling as though he's getting more instruction and more assistance there as opposed to in New England, maybe it was because Jacoby Brissett was trying to hold on to his starting job and fend off Drake May and Joe Milton. Maybe Jacoby Brissett is the one that they were talking about, or that he was talking about or referencing, in terms of not being the best teammate overall. And also, Dan, just wanted to highlight that you made, I think, maybe the most salient point on this. None of what goes on with the Josh McDaniels offense, whether it's cut and paste from 4 years ago or 17 years ago, or if it's a completely redesigned page one, rewrite, gut reno offensive playbook, matters if the offensive line can't do their job. Like, it's almost banal and boring to the audience at large to hear, oh boy, more offensive line talk. If the offensive line can't do their job, doesn't matter how quick Drake May is, how far he can throw it, or who he's gonna, how fleet of foot and sure-handed all your receivers and backs are. If the offensive line can't hold a block long enough to execute a play, how new or however old it is, then it doesn't matter squat, Dan.
Well, to borrow a metric that you used a few moments ago, you said, well, look at quarterbacks who are able to scramble and with the most rushing yards, and you'll probably see a good record. Look at the best offensive lines in football and defensive lines in football, and you'll probably see a
Buffalo.
Great record. I mean, those championship level teams build through the trenches. That's one of the biggest pillars of just fundamentally Eagles, building yep. building a football team, and the Eagles are a prime example. So, yeah, in order to give your second-year quarterback time to think, in order to give wide receivers with varying levels of talent and capability the amount of time to get open, and in order to open up holes for multiple different running backs, all of whom have potential, you got to have an offensive line pulling their weight, Ted. And so that's starting block number one. We could talk Drake May for the rest of the summer into the fall, and we will, but if he's not getting the proper blocks, then you're not getting anything for it.
Yep, and I have a feeling that someone who's going to be joining the program momentarily is going to be thrilled to talk offensive line, Drake May, Josh McDaniels' playbook, and maybe even dip his toe back in the Joe Milton waters. That's our friend Mike Giardi, who joins us each and every Friday from the Boston Sports Journal at 4:30 p.m. You can join us at any time if you would like, right up until 6 p.m. before we hand it over to Arcand and the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show by dialing 617-779-7937. And now you can catch up on everything trending in the wide world of Boston sports and beyond with Dan Ball.
Read option, Milton, a Sunday walk in the park. Oh. And how about that?
Jones and Keefe, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Well, how about that indeed? Here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com, brought to you by FindMassMoney.gov. The Red Sox open up a three-game series against the Dodgers tonight at Fenway Park. First pitch of Game 1 is set for 7:10. Brian Baio will start opposite Emmett Sheehan. The Red Sox earlier today placed infielder Marcelo Meyer on the 10-day injured list, retroactive to July the 24th with a right wrist sprain. To fill a spot, Boston recalled infielder David Hamilton from AAA Worcester. Here's your Sox lineup for tonight. Jaron Duran leads off in center field, and it's Alex Bregman at third. Roman Anthony in left, Trevor Story at short, Masataka Yoshida is your DH. Sadon Rafaela is back at second base, with Alex Cora telling the media that Rafaela will be at second more regularly with Meyer on the shelf. Willy Abreu out in right field with Abraham Toro at first, and Connor Wong is catching and batting ninth. Mookie Betts, meanwhile, is not in the lineup tonight for the Dodgers. Reports surfaced in recent days that the former Red Sox outfielder may not play tonight as he continues to deal with personal matters. In the meantime of all that, you can listen to tonight's game on WEEI-FM 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Mass Mutual pregame show with Christian Arcand is tonight at 6:10, and Sean McDonough and Mike Monaco have the call of the game. From around Major League Baseball, the Mariners acquired first baseman Josh Naylor from the Diamondbacks on Thursday night. The Mets acquired lefty reliever Gregory Soto from the Orioles earlier today. And Mark Feinsohn has reported that the Yankees agreed to a deal with the Rockies to acquire lefty-hitting third baseman Ryan McMahon. The MLB trade deadline is on Thursday at 6 p.m. The Patriots completed day three of training camp today. It was described as a lower-tempo walkthrough with no competitive drills. The team is expected to return to full capacity for their practice tomorrow. Their first preseason game is on Friday, August the 8th, against the Commanders. Stay cool this summer with the money you found at FindMassMoney.gov. You could have unclaimed money from a forgotten savings account, uncashed payroll checks, or a refund check that never got to you. Go to FindMassMoney.gov today. It's a secure website and takes only 30 seconds to search your name. I'm Dan Ball. This is trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Boston Sports Journal's Mike Giardi joins the afternoon crew live at Fenway Park, and that is next.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
About halfway through the 4 o'clock hour here on WEEI Afternoons. Still lots of show to come. And of course, 4:30 on a Friday means we bring in one of the professionals, and a handsome one at that. Do we have his intro?
Pause after...
Pause.
Just letting it anyway, soak in. Welcome to letting the audience.
We welcome a little behind the glass magic right there. Well, who needs that anyway? Joining us now on the hotline, fresh from day 3 of Pat's Camp 2025. I enjoyed a couple of days on Media Hill with him amongst the villainy of Patriots Media Cartel. Of course, we were two of the only dudes cool enough to wear brewery shirts, so we're kind of in the club and tight like that. Mike Giardi from Boston Sports Journal is with us. Mike, how are you, guy?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys?
You know, we're doing well. We're battening down the hatches for this sudden little storm of the century that has descended upon us right now, talking some Patriots. And we find ourselves in a pretty curious spot right now because while it seems, Mike, you know, great offseason, great draft, great free agency, great vibes and everything, a couple of days in, now we got a couple of concerns and a couple of reasons for pause, even though people are loving what they're seeing out of Drake and Steph. And that begins with, let's go to that playbook issue right now. From what you've seen, are we just seeing the redundancy of Josh's old playbook, or are you team, don't worry, there'll be some wrinkles to it further down the road?
So I think there'll be wrinkles to it. I don't think that was BS. What I do think is the talk about it being... I forget if they use the word streamlined or whatever. Yeah. That's just not true. You know, we heard from Hunter Henry in the spring, and he's like, same playbook as I remember. And then we heard from Kendrick Bourne yesterday, and it was same Josh's playbook as I remember. And then even Garrett Bradbury, who's obviously new to it, but he's like, oh, my God, the verbiage, man. It's like it just stacks up. He's like, you know, he came from West Coast offense, whereas he said, like, you know, things like R and L are in the play call, and those mean something. He said, in this – that just doesn't make a lot of sense. There's sometimes the stuff just, you're like, huh? And he said he's been using flashcards to help him kind of get through it. So I think the talk about it being different, it just doesn't feel that way from people who have been there and even from some of the new guys that have walked in on the organization here in the offseason.
So the natural follow-up with guys having to use flashcards and the verbiage being a lot, Mike, would be how does it look like it's playing out on the field? I know it's been just 3 days worth, so you can't really glean all that much, but does it look disjointed? Does it look like it's still in the early stages of coming together?
It doesn't look disjointed to me at all. You know, I mean, again, we're not playing real football, and that continues to be brought up, not just by yours truly, but by the guys themselves on the field. You know, like, hey, we're, you know, this is basically an extension of the OTAs. This is part of what was, you know, negotiated by the union and the Players Association to give them a little bit of ramp up time here. I think Monday is when we expect them to be in full pads, and I think Monday is when we'll really start to see, you know, what it looks like, because that's when, okay, we have concerns about the offensive line. Can they block these guys? You know, we'll find out, because then at least you can mix the run in there and they can get after it a little bit, and we'll see if there's a little bit more balance there.
Mike, thank you for joining us today. I appreciate your insights. I'm curious just your thoughts on position battles. I mean, there aren't really big position battles that are out there, other than maybe, you know, a left guard or center, or maybe an outside linebacker position. Is there a position battle, maybe the third wide receiver, that you are in tune with and that you find to be kind of more compelling to watch? And what is it, and what are you seeing there?
Yeah, well, first of all, I'll go with one that you mentioned there, and that's left guard. And I think what we've seen since they came back here for training camp, again, the glorified OTAs until they get into full training, is that Jared Wilson, the rookie third rounder, who we didn't get to see a ton of in the spring because he was coming back from something, he's rotating in not only at left guard and at center, but also today at right guard. So I think that there is At the very least, they'd like to make him the first guy off the bench for any one of those positions. If not, the fact that he might end up being the best guy coming out and be one of the starters on opening day. They're giving him a lot, and I think Mike talked about him today, sort of like, hey, you know, one of the ways you can sort of measure if these guys are engaged even when they can't be out on the field, you know, as we were talking about Jalen Polk in the press conference, is like, when they get on the field, do they know what they're doing? Can they pick it up? Are they making the seamless transition? And thus far, he's made a real good transition. It seems like he knows what he's supposed to do, and he knows it at multiple positions. So to me, that's really intriguing, because I kind of figured that would be a second half of the season type thing, because he's not very experienced coming out of Georgia either, just 1 year as a starter. But, you know, at least early here, they're giving him opportunities, and it doesn't look like he's messing them up.
Mike Giardi from the Boston Sports Journal joining his pals here on the WEEI Afternoon Show, talking Pats Camp 2025. So another one of these little mini debates we've been having, Mike, is, you know, who's the real star of the show right now? Some may say it's still Mike Vrabel, who you anointed, and I believe appropriately so, the MVP of the offseason. You know, is Mike Vrabel still the star of the show, running around all over the place, putting on his penny, signing autographs, doing FaceTimes with fans afterwards, and letting everyone know this is his show and his house? Or do you think it's Drake May and the youth movement? Because this is going to eventually be a younger team. You'll have a lot of younger guys hoping to earn roles and make plays on the field. So which way do you see that going thus far?
I still think it's the head coach, and, you know, we could have this conversation again in 2 or 3 weeks, and maybe it's changed because maybe Williams has really merged at wide receiver, and maybe Travion Henderson is, you know, not only forget about pushing for the number one job, maybe he's already in the number one job. You know, maybe Wilson is one of the starters on the interior offensive line, and then we are having that conversation where, ooh, hey, holy smokes, you know, after last year when they couldn't hit, it seems, on any of their draft picks other than Drake, maybe they actually did it. But for now, to me, it's Vrabel. It's the way he's running things. It's the expectation, the ability to definitely sort of challenge guys. You know, it's not a full-out call-out of someone in the media, but it's also like, as he's talking about today, when he's talking about Wilson, he kind of circled back to Polk, and it's just like, okay, you know, Jalen's a second-round pick. If Jalen wants to get on the field, this is me just reading between the lines, then when he does finally get out here, he better show that he's ready to go immediately in terms of he knows where he's supposed to be, how he's supposed to do it, and then, you know, the other parts, like, you know, catch the football, those sorts of things.
Yeah, Mike, when you're when he's asking you guys for the tenets of training camp, are you guys all looking around at each other like, all right, who did their homework? What's going on here?
You know, the day before he did that, he'd talked for like 25 minutes. I pay attention, but I didn't remember that's one of the things that he said. So I was glad that I wasn't the mic that he was calling on at that point, that was a different mic. I sort of did as I think I posted. Jason McCourty was like, Giardi, was that you on Twitter? And I was like, no, this is me. And I used the Homer Simpson gif when he slides into the cornfield. That was me. I was just like, oh, I'm glad I'm on the edge and I can just keep sliding back until I'm out of view.
Hey, Mike, I'm curious, just your thoughts on, it didn't become a big story, but I find it interesting, and now the camp started, it's kind of, nobody talks about it, but just the guys getting together for the workout in the offseason after Drake May got married. You know, Vrabel had some comments about, you know, Drake May paying for 95% of it. Just the guys getting together, like, do you have any kind of, like, feelings about that? Did you think it was disingenuous? Do you think it was orchestrated? Did you think... you know, just any thoughts on those guys getting together and what it meant for Drake May and his leadership?
Yeah, I think it was a huge step forward, and I wrote about it, Teddy, in the sense that it's his actions are showing. I don't care about the words so much. Like, these guys are, most of them are pretty well schooled on what to say, what not to say, speaking cliches. Like, you know, I mean, you live that world, you know what it was like. But I mean, I think most of these guys, they're more socially. Media-wise, they're a little bit more savvy. So, you know, to me, unless he says something crazy, like, the words are, okay, that's fine, but, like, show me. And that, to me, was a show-me moment. There's been a lot of talk about him taking more of a leadership role, and I don't want you to talk about it. I want you to show me to do it. And he did it. He arranged it. He got plane tickets and hotel, you know, like, all that stuff was, as far as I know, was taken care of by him. So, to me, organizing the thing, and it's, I don't even think it's as much about what happened on the field. you know, what they did during the sessions that they worked. I think it's more about just the guys hanging out, getting a feel for each other, bonding, you know, not just him bonding with Stephon Diggs, but Diggs bonding with some of the other guys. Just that whole group, bring them together, make them feel like they're part of something special, and then hopefully you hit the ground running when they're actually doing it for real. I mean, look, Tom did it for a lot of years of his career, right? And yep. For people who want to say it's not important or it's for sure, no, like, it mattered to Tom.
Yep.
And, it, you know, it mattered to Danny, and it mattered to Julian, like the guy, Gronk, the guys that, you know, you're doing things in the off season, you got lives to lead, but like, hey, we got 3 days in Montana, get your ass up here, and they did.
Oh, man, to have only gotten an invite to one of those Montana hangs, that always looked like
seriously.
That always looked like a good time. But your point, Mike, actually plays nicely into something Ted was talking about earlier, both with the Red Sox and the Patriots. Feels like there's a lot of good buy-in right now, which is excellent. Talking to Mike Giardi from Boston Sports Journal here on WEI Afternoons. Every camp always comes with the hits and the misses, the surprises and the disappointments. So I'll ask you, on the more positive side of things, have there been any sort of, hey, how about that guy for you?
Interesting. Yeah. Well, I'll say this, and I don't think he's going to play a big role by any stretch of the imagination, but Marcus Epps is a free safety who's coming off the ACL. They signed him from the Raiders. I thought Woodson was ahead of him in the spring. Epps is getting reps, and he looks comfortable. He looks like he's moving pretty well, so I didn't necessarily expect that. That's a starting level player. He won't start here, I don't think, but like, okay, a little bit more depth. But, you know, again, once they're in pads next week, Fitzy, I think that's when it starts to jump. I'll give you one. Like,
for sure.
Everybody was buzzing about Efton Chisholm, right? Efton Chisholm has been very quiet, but it's very early. Yeah. So, you know, they put the pads on and Efton Chisholm goes bananas on Monday. We'll be, hey, you know, maybe that wasn't a fluke what happened in the spring, or maybe we didn't overreact. Well, I didn't overreact, but other people didn't overreact to what he was doing. So that to me is what I'm really looking forward to. I think that's when the competition really ramps up.
Okay, Michael, last question for us. I'm curious if a good discussion kind of occurred earlier in the show about Joe Milton. Joe Milton had some comments, a little bit critical, yeah. I think, of his former team. Yeah, what do you make of Joe Milton? Do you think it was a good decision? Do you think there's maybe that the Patriots saw something in his personality that it was probably a smart thing to move on from him? Just your thoughts on Joe Milton down there in Dallas.
I think Joe Milton is what he's always been, an incredibly gifted, talented guy who has never fully seemed to grasp the other parts that come with playing quarterback. And, you know, everybody got giddy over what they saw in week 18 against guys that were trying to lose and backups and those sorts of things. I just look, 6 years in college, man, like he never really became what he was supposed to be. And I don't think he's mature enough to make that happen. So to me, that was just in line with who he is. I'm not saying he's a bad guy. I'm just saying I think he's immature, and he's now 25. I don't, you know, like 26 maybe. I don't even know. Like maybe time to grow up a little bit. And to me, that just kind of reeked of a guy who's still not there yet.
I'll tell you who's mature enough to make it happen. This guy right here, who you can follow on the socials at Mike Giardi, G-I-A-R-D-I. Check out the All 32 podcast with our friend of Six Rings, Will Parkinson. And, of course, you can read his musings, his analysis, and notes at the Boston Sports Journal. And if you're lucky like us, you can sit next to him on Media Hill sometime and watch him make his notes and sweat like the rest of us. But, hey, Lee.
Oh, my God. Today was disgusting, by the way. Just absolutely disgusting.
I imagine it was swastastic, and it'll probably still be pretty hot out there tomorrow. I heard tomorrow's practice is going to be dialed up a little bit. And then Monday in the pads, Mike?
That's the word on the street is Monday in pads. You know, they get Sunday off, and then the expectation is that Monday they come loaded for bear. So I know the players are talking about it today. Like, it's time, you know, we want to do this, and this is where we can kind of figure out what we are and how to go forward. So let's go.
Yep, time to do the thing, and I'm sure Coach Vrabel in his penny will be right out there in the center of it all. Mike Giardi here on WEI Afternoons each and every Friday at 4:30. Thanks, big guy. Talk to you soon.
Thanks,
buddy.
Mike.
Be good.
See you, boys.
See you, man.
All right, a couple things from Mike Giardi that we can unpack and react to on the other side. 617-779 if you want to weigh 617-779-7937 if you would like to weigh in on any of those camp thoughts. And don't forget, just a few minutes away from the drive at 5, and of course 5:30. Ted's Movie Club, where this week we're going to talk about who stole the Facebook. That's right, the social network will be the feature of Ted's Movie Club this week here on WEI Afternoons.
WEEI.
WEEI. New England Sports Original.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
I forget if they used the word streamlined or whatever. That's just not true. You know, we heard from Hunter Henry in the spring, and he's like, same playbook as I remember. And then we heard from Kendrick Bourne yesterday, and it was same Josh's playbook as I remember. And then even Garrett Bradbury, who's obviously new to it, but he's like, oh, my God, the verbiage, man. It's like, it just stacks up. He's like, you know, he came from West Coast offense, whereas he said, like, you know, things like R and L are in the play call, and those mean something. He said, in this, it just doesn't make a lot of sense.
In case you just missed it, that was our pal Mike Giardi from Boston Sports Journal talking the first couple of days of Pats Camp 2025 here with us on WEEI Afternoons. If you missed it, NBD, we'll play some highlights throughout the remainder of the show, but you can always subscribe to the WEEI Afternoons pod, the Six Rings and Football Things, or just download the Odyssey app like all the cool kids. Use the Rewind feature and listen to segments from our show or all the other great shows at your leisure. All right, so the more we hear, guys, the more it sounds like we're going to see the Josh McDaniels offense of old, but I'm still holding out hope that there is a team-wide agreement to have everyone just say, like, yes, it is the same offense, and then actually have people be surprised week one when the Raiders come in expecting the Josh McDaniels offense because, you know, he coached out there a few years ago, but then something completely different.
You know, it's I am curious what people think about this because, okay, so what identifies Josh McDaniels' offense? Can you, I mean, is it a power? Is it gap? Is it the zone stretch? Is it play? It's to me, it's kind of a lot of little things. It's all of it, you know, in one. And you just don't know game to game. It doesn't have, like, to me, these defining kind of characteristics where you see that and you go, oh, that's. I mean, I watch the Miami Dolphins. I watch the San Francisco 49ers. I watch the L.A. Rams, and I go, oh, those are clear offensive philosophies that they are using that I understand. Like, I feel like with Josh, it's a little bit of everything. So I don't know why people might be worked up about that. What I can see people getting worked up in that the tone in which Mike is saying, answering that question, which I get, is all we've been hearing is that Josh has been learning the college system, that he's going to implement a lot of new things, that it's going to be tailored to Drake May's strengths. And nope, it's not. It's the same old stuff. And, you know, you don't want to hear Steph Diggs saying, yeah, boy, this offense is hard. Like, he's still trying to learn the offense because we saw what that did for past wide receivers. And with a young quarterback, it's a very difficult system to implement. What I do like is that Drake May's going to have options when he goes to the line of scrimmage. He's going to walk up, and if there's a play that he is in that he doesn't like based on what the defense is doing, he will be able to get out of that play into something different, which – the quarterbacks in the last couple of years have not been able to do, Dan.
Yeah, no question about that. I think that's the hugest determining factor of by the end of the season, you'd like to say, oh, this is Drake May's offense that is orchestrated by Josh McDaniels, not it's the McDaniels offense. You want it to have a lot of the pillars. Obviously, you're going to see, you know, a lot of the use of the running backs out of the backfield, see a lot of the use of the tight end. You know, he loves to spread the ball around to a number of different targets throughout different positions to try to keep defenses on their heels. So that's going to continue to be a pillar. But to your point, have a clear, concise way of communicating between coordinator to quarterback to position players that has no remnants of the Alex Van Pelt offense, no remnants of Drake May's offense at North Carolina, no remnants of whatever happened with Las Vegas with McDaniels, a clear way of communicating at the line so you can be aggressive and not be reacting based on what the defense is giving you. So, Fitzy, as long as Drake can be the operator of the offense and you can say, oh, this is Drake's offense for the Patriots, that constitutes a success for me.
That's what it needs to be. It's not the McDaniels system. It's the pieces of the McDaniels system that make for the Drake May offense. You hit it right on the head there, Dan, and you can pick any prize you want from the top shelf of all the stuffed animals and take away goodies.
Ooh, deal.
But let me ask both of you gentle friends this before we tap out, hit the commercial break, and come back in with the drive at 5. Did it give anyone pause that when I asked Mike about any early camp standouts or people that popped, wasn't really much? Like, you know, he said, well, Marcus Epps looks like he's healed up a little bit, and then there's some other guy. Like, nobody, aside from the fact that we've talked about Drake and Steph Diggs jumping off the, and Gonzo jumping off the, the page or the field, no one else really seems to have done so far.
Fitzy, Dan, no concern, none. Put the pads on. Let's play football. Football's played in pads. It's a different game. Pressure turns up. You start to see kind of who's for real and who's not. Right now, it's hard to really kind of look at these guys critically when they're only in shorts. And so I'm not concerned one bit. Ask me this question. Next Friday, a week from today, okay, I'll have a lot more information. And if I'm still saying that a week from now, then that should worry us.
You know, Fitzy, I'm curious how many standouts there are going to be. I mean, it's kind of a commentary on the way the roster is set up. You just don't have a lot of great players right now. I'm more curious to see, all right, so when we do get into game action, is the sum of the parts better than the value of each individual, where it comes together in a scheme that's more successful? Because Gonzo, elite, obviously, one of the best at his position. Drake, you're hoping can elevate himself into an upper echelon conversation. Stephon Diggs has had 1,000-yard seasons. Past that, there aren't many players that you look at and go, that guy's elite. So I'm more curious.
I'm hoping the D-line shows out a little bit.
Yeah, I'd
like to
see
the two interior defensive tackles. Sorry, Dan. Just like that's where I want to – I'd like to see some flash from those guys.
Okay, I like that. But overall, Fitzy, I'm not really expecting a ton of, huge camp standouts, because I think you have a lot of serviceable guys that are trying to fit into a system right now.
And Ted, real quick, on the way out the break, just to get your thoughts. Christian Wilkins, released by the Raiders. They have some sort of failed physical, some issues over his medicals as well and his rehabilitation. High-priced free agent. Looks like they're just going to cut bait with him altogether. Vrabel says earlier today, we'll have a conversation about that. Defensive line looks to be a strength, but would you maybe make a phone call?
Absolutely, bud. Absolutely. I mean, former first rounder, not that long ago. Why not? Why not kick the tires? I would love to have an elite defensive line. Love, love, love. I played with elite defensive tackles, ends, nose tackles. I would love for this defense to have the more defensive linemen that are elite, the better. Trust me.
Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, it's time for the Drive at 5 with the highlights and the best takes and the newsmakers of the day as well, plus your chance to win a $100 gift card from our friends at Shaw's and Star Market, and of course Ted's Movie Club. Don't miss a minute of it here with the Ball Game with Big Ted and Fitzy here on WEEI Afternoons.
Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson on WEEI.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021 and we miss it.
We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.